And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
But for whoever leaked the video, it did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world. It's an audioless video. It's a video that cuts to me walking right to him. The video serves the purpose that it was supposed to serve. And it had me in the same mind state of like, wow, this is terrible. This is awful. And by the way, it is terrible and it is awful.
How do I sound now? I sound okay?
Did you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
It's a scary, scary times, man.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Ready to rock and roll, everybody?
And we got another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. Marcus and C.J. Holmes from the San Francisco Chronicle, our guy out in the Bay with some developments. The last few days. What happened today? Did we taping this on Tuesday? Did your man talk today?
No JP.
Still no JP.
He ain't talk?
Ah.
Man, he gotta go at his own time, man. He gotta, you know, he got heat controlling the cards.
He's trying to secure that bag so. First. Then he'll talk all we want him to talk. So
he's got the bag. He's the most guaranteed bag getting guy in the world now.
Leverage.
My man is oh my god, he's got all the cards. He's got four aces. I mean, you know, like
DA, I want to hear your take on it. You know, there's been a lot of dialogue about it, a lot of talk about what should have happened, who should have been ready for what, how these things go down, what pushes mean, what shove mean, what's right and wrong. Sometimes we just need an OG perspective. So I need my OG to talk to me.
DA, how many forceful strikes have you seen in all of your years covering NBA?
How many fights in practice? Quite a few. Quite a few. But see, that's why they don't let people in practice anymore, because we used to be able to watch practice. You know, back in the day. But I'm sure you said it, Marcus, or somebody said it. The tape changes everything, right? The tape changes everything. Donald Sterling is the most virulent racist. The league's known about it for 20 years, and they didn't do nothing about it until there was a tape. Then there's a tape, now they do something about it. So, yeah, I mean, the optics are horrible for Draymond. Just horrible. I mean, it just looks bad. My man, Ronnie Adams, though. I love Ronnie Adams. Ronnie was like, I am too old to be jumping in between you fools.
Ron was looking like he was thinking, this is interesting.
No, it was hands on the hips, though. Right. It was hands on the hips, though. Just like, would you look at this?
This could escalate. But, yeah, man. So, I guess I am a little surprised that there's a feeling, based on all of your years of experience covering this team, that this is really bad for Draymond. This is not just he lost his cool, he snapped, he had a bad day. This is some lines were crossed, some trusts were violated, and, you know, he's going to have to do a lot of work to restore that and repair the damage that was done. And if we knew everything that happened, but we didn't have the tape, do you think that would still be the case?
I don't think we're talking about this anymore. There wasn't tape because, you know, I think the organization did as well as the job as they could, you know, trying to, you know, appease the media and calm it down and, you know, make the, you know, perception that this isn't a big deal. You know, this happens, you know, that's what Bob Myers stepped up to the podium and said, what was it, last Wednesday? But, you know, like Marcus said, like you said, the video just changed it, everything. And, you know, at that point, it's in the court of public perception, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's bad, man. It's bad. And it's, you know, I'm still not convinced that this is the glide path to getting rid of Draymond. I don't see that, because at the end of the day, they know what he brings to that mix, right? And there's just nobody that they can, there's nobody that can recreate that alchemy that Draymond brings to the table, you know, and also, you know, because he's been there, he's proven that he's a vital part of the championships. And so while I know that there was real damage done and there's real issues that he's going to have to fix, I still am not convinced that this just gives them the out to get rid of him.
But DA like, man, in the end, who's guarding Jokic? Like, answer that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not Jonathan Kuminga. I know that.
Exactly. I mean, this is Dennis Rodman. No, yo, man, Dennis took left during the finals to do whatever wrestling he was with. He left during the finals to tape a wrestling event.
Like, hey, man, we still need somebody to guard Karl Malone.
Right, exactly. And he was out there the next day guarding Karl Malone, right.
Here's what makes this interesting. I want to get CJ's thoughts on this. It's a big, big part of what Draymond does is lead, right? And especially once they decided to do this two timeline thing where you got these youngsters playing with these old heads, then Draymond becomes vital because he's helping them learn how to play, learn the Warrior system. So now you got to wonder, are they listening? Can he do that? Or is that part of what he brings to the team just not valid anymore? And, you know, CJ, you know, you talk to the young players a lot. Do you feel like Draymond still has that kind of clout? Because we just saw a video I was watching earlier where Jordan Poole wins the title and he's crying on Draymond's shoulder. Right. He's like tears, and Draymond's got his arm around him, and they're big brother and little brother. Can he still be that, or is that part now kind of in jeopardy?
I don't know. I think he could possibly still be that. The others, you know, we've had a couple of guys come up to the podium in recent days, like Moses, a couple other young guys, and it doesn't seem like they've like completely alienated Draymond in a sense. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it takes Jordan, you know, a couple weeks to come back around. Because at the end of the day, these guys are brothers, right? They're in the locker room. They grind together. And unfortunately, these things happen from time to time. It doesn't excuse Draymond's actions. You know, that's, you know, you can't take a swing at your young teammate like that. I think what Marcus called it, you know, that's big bro. That's OG. You know, as OG, as big bro, you got to kind of responsibility to just not do things like that. That's like something you would expect from a 23-year-old Draymond Green, not a 32-year-old Draymond Green. I think it'll take some work for him to get the locker room back, but I don't think it's necessarily gone. At the end of the day, they do appreciate what Draymond brings to the table. You know, they need that energy. Draymond is, you know, part of what they are as a team, right? So although I do think it'll take him some time to get the locker room back, I don't think it's necessarily a situation where it's, you know, he's going to be alienated and like pushed out from here, like on forward.
Yeah.
DA, I wonder what CJ, who played at Auburn, has seen in practice that he like, this stuff
yeah,
happens
give us
all
the
time.
Best fight you ever saw, he didn't. Huh?
Horrible things.
Horrible things.
Look, all right, look, I'm not trying to compare situations, but you know, for the sake of the pod, I'll play out a little story. I won't bring out no names. But I remember walking into Auburn Arena one morning, and there was a beef between two of our players in practice the day before, right? So we had practice that night, and we come back in the morning, you know, for shoot arounds. We got a game that day. Tell me why a dude pulls a knife on dude in front of Auburn Arena. And I say it to say this, 2 days later, they threw a joint birthday party and everything was fine. So Right. What I'm saying is like, of course, that's an extreme example, right? But these things happen. Like I am on like the side of that these things happen. I'm not excusing Draymond's actions or any of that nature, but these things happen and, you know, things are kind of tense for a while and then you move on till the next thing happens.
Marcus, my boy went, white man can't jump on you. I'm gonna go to my car. Get my other gun. Shoot all of you.
He said, "Yo, man, that dude put out a knife on him, and then they threw a joint party. I'd be throwing a joint party too if somebody put a knife on me. Like, man, whatever you need." what was Bruce Pearl running?
Jeez. Oh, man.
Right?
Just pull the knife. You were DA in your spot. One of the most wild situations happened between Gilbert Arenas and,
oh, sure.
and Javaris Crittenden. So, yeah, that, yeah.
No, you can't. You can't be bringing no firearms to the joint.
You know, just bringing straps to work, like
just grizzled ass veterans looking at me like, "Yo, man, your boy, we can't play with your boy no more." Yeah, no, that crossed the line. It could not be uncrossed after that, you know. But the funny thing is that they tried to bring him back because there's that famous photo when he came back. And they're in Philly, and they're in the huddle before the game, and my boy does the finger guns and starts shooting. Mm. And I'm like, yo, like, oh my God, Gilbert, come on, bro, read the room, hey, man.
No chill, Gil, man. No, zero.
Let me ask y'all this: if obviously, you know, when we look at the film or the footage of the altercation between Jordan and Draymond, you know, Draymond makes his way across the court, kind of. Gets in Jordan's personal space. Jordan pushes him. Jordan doesn't push Draymond. Does Draymond still swing?
I don't know. I think I can't.
I don't know. Yeah. Just judging by my, you know, amateur forensics, I think Draymond was going to get Jordan to swing no matter what. I think he went over there. Yeah, he went over there like, do something. Do something. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. He was just going to swing on the first guy that stepped to him, or if he was just locked in on Jordan, like, I'm going to mess him up today. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what's in his mind, but I know what that walk looked like.
Now, he said something very interesting at his presser on Saturday when he talked?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I mean, I thought it was very, I mean, look, you can be very reflective and still do something stupid. Don't get me wrong. He did something stupid. That was wrong. But I thought he explained himself in a way that I thought was very, you know, I think kind of impressive to me. Like he didn't hide. He didn't, you know, speak in cliches. He said he has a lot of work to do on himself. But he mentioned one thing that I think is interesting, which is assuming he's back by ring night. He said, look, the families might have some issues with one another, and I hadn't even thought about that, but that's true. Like, and so how much of that going forward do you think Bob Myers and the organization have to kind of deal with, or they have to kind of address,
especially considering today, like Draymond's mom, you know, went on social and kind of defended him,
right?
You know, not, I mean, she didn't say what he did was right, but she was saying, you know, hey man, he got shoved and responded. End of story. I don't know how whose mom might take that. You know what I'm saying? Like that might make it a little like. So yeah, man, there's so many layers that have to be figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many like people who kind of gotta get involved and do some work to work on it. So but at some point though, no matter how it works, like people just have to take a higher road. I thought Draymond did that at his press conference, right? He just decided, man, whatever right I have, right? Whatever mindset, you know, whatever reason I could use to say that would give me any leeway, I'm rejecting it, right? Like somebody's got to do that. And he did that. To me, that was important. Like now it's like, can it stay there? Can you get everybody in line on that? Because like he said it, you know, his parents had to see that, you know, and I know, like, you fast forward Draymond to, you know, where Draymond Jr. is 23, and how would Draymond respond if somebody stole his son? For whatever reason, don't matter if you watch your son get pulled on, like, Draymond probably taking a fight somewhere, like, you got to see me about hitting my son. So, like, I think that's really kind of sensitive part of the situation that still has to be kind of developed. But I thought he started the recovery process by saying, hey, man, it's not even about me. It's about Jordan. Like,
yeah,
whatever Jordan needs. To me, that was important. That's kind of got to stick in order for it to work, I think.
You know, one thing from the press conference, one aspect of what Draymond said that I took away is the thing is, we still don't know the, you know, he brought up that the video was probably cut in a certain way, and we still don't know the full details of what happened, because, like, you know, I think Draymond was sincere and pretty apologetic when he was at the podium. But at the same time, one thing that caught my ears is when he said, you know, there are certain elements of this situation that would probably change people's opinions. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to, you know, as Draymond said, he had to get that out. He's like, but I'm not here to talk about that. But that's not, like, right. But we just don't know the full, because I can only get so down on Draymond because there's two sides to every story. We still have not heard Jordan speak. We still have not heard Jordan talk about the situation. And there are certain elements of this that we're probably never going to know, right? But yeah, I just, considering how, like, you know, I went with the team to Japan, you know, everything seemed fine. They're kissing babies. They are doing community events. It just seems like one big happy family. And then literally they get back and 3 days later, people are scrapping in the practice gym. So there is, you know, some people want to play, oh, maybe Draymond salty about the contract situations, you know. Maybe that is the case. Maybe it's not the case. Draymond shot it down. The organization shot it down. But there are elements of all this that we don't understand. So for me, it's I can't completely make Jordan a victim, and I can't completely blame Draymond for the situation. There's just stuff that we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I can because I believe no matter what it is, Draymond is a good enough individual, good enough human to find a better way. Like, it doesn't, it just doesn't matter. And I think Draymond knows that. Draymond is a good enough person to find a better way, a more productive way, one that doesn't harm the team, one that doesn't disappoint the people who rely on him, one that doesn't put the championship in jeopardy, one that doesn't put his own money in jeopardy, right? Like, so no matter what the situation is, more than even Jordan Poole, who's 23 years old, I know Draymond to be better. Mm-hmm. And if he's better, like, I know Draymond to be smart enough to figure out another way to handle that. And I think that's what he put on himself when he said that. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously there are some things that could be said that would completely justify that. But if those things were the case, they weren't going to win anyway. Right. Right. Like, it was, right. It was doomed anyway. There was already a major problem inside, but
yeah,
I just believe that while Draymond is a dude who I feel like is tough and is ready to squab and, you know, and all of those things, I think it's a discredit to him to act like that's all he is.
Right. Right?
I think he's got more than that to him. And I believe in that part. I believe in that part of Draymond.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Do we know yet? Like, I know some teams farm their videotaping out. It doesn't necessarily have to be a member of the organization. It could be a third party. Do we know where that is yet?
Well, I actually wanted to reveal on Hoops Adjacent exactly who leaked the video.
Okay, there we go.
And some news, you know, this is breaking news, you know, in our show. It was indeed CJ Holmes. So I got you here so you can tell us how much you got paid.
You know, don't do that. Don't do that, Marcus. Because actually, I was looking at my Instagram this morning, and out of nowhere, somebody commented on one of my pictures. I heard you sold a fish for $5,000. So now they're going to start researching me, man. You'll be saying stuff like that. I ain't do nothing, man. I was chilling. Like,
I ain't doing.
All right, it wasn't CJ. But I'm saying on the record it wasn't CJ. There's some people who are like a little bit low-key mad that it seems like Steve seems more angry about the video than the Draymond thing. But if you just look at the uniqueness of both situations, clearly the video leaking is the most unique thing. That is like a news we talk about. You don't write about dog biting man, right?
Right.
You write about man biting dog. Like that's man biting dog, right?
Right.
Video leaking. I ain't never seen that before.
No, I look. I think multiple things can be true at the same time, right? Like, I mean, Steve's worried about Jordan Poole. He's worried about his team. He's worried about Draymond and trying to reincorporate him. If he can reincorporate him, I mean, he's worried about those things. But there's also a part of any team that would feel like, man, somebody, like, this is foul that somebody put this out there. We're supposed to be a family. And I know that's a cliche and stupid because families don't get paid millions of dollars a year to be with each other. But there is a sanctity. I think this is legit. Players do view the locker room and the practice court as a sanctuary and a place where they can be their most real selves when they need to be. And they know that over the course of the season, there's going to be arguments, not fist fights like that, but there's going to be disagreements, yelling, screaming, cussing, all that sort of thing. And you can't have those moments just broadcast out of context, without context, to the world that doesn't understand it. They just don't. If you haven't been on a team, you don't understand the dynamics of a team. And it's just... it's different. It's not like an office, it just isn't like, so you have to, I can understand Steve being very salty about that, especially if it's somebody that works in the organization. And again, we don't know that. I don't know that. But the fact that it got out is kind of foul, but it doesn't mean it wasn't important that it got out, because it was.
I think
it was important for people to know that this was not just your garden variety. Guys come together, grab each other's jersey, and it's squashed in 3 seconds. This was not that.
Yeah, I believe the exact phrase Steve used is the sanctity of the locker room has been under assault for a while now. What do you think of that, Dia?
Yeah.
I felt attacked. I felt that was personal. Like, dang, Steve, you don't want me to break nothing? Come on, man. I'm just trying to earn a living, Steve.
Well, I think Steve understands this, but this isn't, even the Bulls, as universal as they were, was not like media is today. It just is different. It's a different animal than it was 25 years ago. And you ain't never putting that genie back in the bottle, and coaches, I've had coaches, tell me that they just hate the sideline interviews during games, and I always point out that you are under no obligation to accept the $10 million you're getting from my network to do this game. You can walk away. You can go coach high schools and make $75,000 a year. You can do that. You choose to work here where you make $10 million a year. Well, part of that $10 million comes from the TV network, so that's the deal. That's life in a big city. I understand his anger, but he's in a business. It's not a basketball team. You know what I mean? It's an entertainment company, really.
Especially not this team, right?
That's like, what I'm saying. That's what I mean. The Warriors are not a basketball team.
He can go coach, it's plenty of other places he can go coach if he wants to preserve that sanctity. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To me, I do think the difficult part, and that video is definitely next level. That video getting out, it's like another frontier of this invasion, right?
Like, if this is the Sacramento Kings, that video probably doesn't get out. But they're the Golden State Warriors,
Exactly.
But that's the gift and the curse. They also benefit from that, right? They also make a lot of money from that. Yeah. But the unique part about this is I do think one thing about locker rooms in general is like this, that's where the sausage gets made, right? And if people saw that, they probably wouldn't like what they see, but also
wouldn't understand it. Yes.
But also it's not the finished product either.
Right.
So, and that's the thing, like, you know, they're getting in people, you know, like Jonathan Kuminga is not the guy he's going to be. And part of who he's going to be is literally being worked on now. But if people see that now, and I don't know, I'm not saying Jonathan Kuminga has some like flaws about him that, you know, people would know. I'm just saying because he's so young, like you get to, you see people and how they act and how they behave. You may not like it, but this is the process of development. Like this is the growth, right? You expect the Steph Curry. If you saw Steph Curry behind the scenes, you would expect, okay, like Steph is a professional. He's learned this, et cetera. But even if something as simple as like you see people playing too much in practice, right?
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah. I remember, you know, Don Nelson used to get on Monte about, man, you need to be on time for practice. Like not here with your shoes in your hands and all that, not ready. You need to be on the court. But like stuff like that is a part of the growth process. So if you, Steve, who's like in charge of development, you know, like he's got to be able to develop in privacy. Otherwise, if it's all out on display, just get all the cameras out and turn it to a reality show.
I mean, that's why when The Last Dance, the people were shocked at The Last Dance, right? They're like, they couldn't believe MJ got on people, but that's to your point. That's how he found out who was tough mentally and who could handle it and who would be ready, you know, when the moment came, including when he got in the fight with Steve, you know, but that was the fact that Steve hit him back. The Steve punched him, let him know that Steve is a dog. He's got some dog in him. You know what I mean? And he's not going to back down. And that matters, but how do you find that out otherwise? You don't have to go to the extreme of Michael Jordan, but it does happen in the course of a season that there's moments where you're tested.
You know, CJ ain't the same guy who pulled a knife on his teammate outside of Arena.
That's right. He's grown.
Trying to say it was his first.
So can an argument be made that Draymond was trying to see if Jordan had that dog?
I mean, yeah, but that's not how you do it, obviously. You can't do it that way, you know. And again, I think Jordan's answered all of the questions about his basketball acumen and toughness and resolve and all that sort of thing. So I don't think that would hold water as an argument before a jury.
Yeah, I know it was just a preseason game.
I was just trying to test him, Your Honor.
And it's like, I know it was just a preseason game, but like talking about how Jordan has handled this, I mean, with everything that's gone on this past week and for him to go out there and drop 25 in a game, I mean, that speaks to that dog. I mean, he let his game speak for him. And that's just always been who Jordan is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's why I think it'll be fascinating to see, because he has so much leverage, how he handles this whenever he speaks about this publicly. Will he say it wasn't a big deal? Will he say it was a big deal, but I'm past it. It's not a big, I've squashed it. Or I can't play with this guy, but yeah, there's still some things we got to work on here for this to be right in my head. So I'll be fascinated to see. Y'all know him better than I do. I think he keeps his, you know, he keeps him moving, it seems like to me. He does not really, you know, stand on any particular point for very long. How do you think he responds whenever he talks?
I mean, we only going to get 90 seconds either way, so.
You think so?
That's his little rule. He only give us 90 seconds. 90 seconds needed. He's like, hear me, dog. Y'all got 90 seconds.
Is that right? I did not know he put time limits on you. That's crazy.
I do think that preseason game was a sign, though. Like,
yeah.
Man, JP about to get we hadn't seen the video yet, but we saw him afterwards, right? So it's like that practice happened. We were there. We were unaware anything happened. Yeah. So you can see Jordan Poole shooting by himself. First off, I'm like, I'm noticing he's making shots. I'm like, hey, JP's jump still there, right? And then, you know, you see him smiling, talking to a couple teammates. Then you find out later, like that was after the altercation.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, if one thing we learned about Jordan Poole, like even after the same day after this incident happened, he was out there getting buckets. Then he go the first game against the Lakers, he gets buckets. Like, this dude's going to get – he going to get buckets.
Right.
Like, that's who he is, right? It's not going to change. He's already shown that to me. But even if it was a preseason game, I'm with you, CJ. Like, that was a sign. Like, oh, ain't nothing stops. Like, this show is going. Like, I'm cooking you if you ain't ready.
A statement. That was a statement for sure.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So where do they go from here? I know we want to keep it a little shorter today. So what happens, like, Jordan's going to get paid whatever he gets paid. The question of Draymond and staying on the team is different from the question of Draymond getting paid, right? You know what I mean? Like, you can want to keep him. You just may not be able to afford him because of the luxury tax. How do they, with this information, resolve that situation, you know, ultimately? Is it going to be, we have to wait, we have to get through this season and see? Or do you think they've already made up their mind?
No, I think they need this season.
Yeah,
I think they need this season. I mean, what happens if they win a title?
Right.
What if both are great and they win a title?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like, yeah, we got the most out you, so you really got to go now, right? we ain't getting no more than this. You ain't winning three, so we might as well do it now. But or like, you know, winning cures all. I think they need to see. And I'm not saying it was just a preseason game, CJ, but that defense was not looking that great.
And I guess the thing is, you know, earlier when we were talking about how does Draymond win the locker room back? Well, the best way you can win the locker room back is by leading by example, by going out there and playing good basketball. So in light of all this, you know, whenever Draymond does return to the team, we could see one of the, you know, better versions of him we've seen in a while because he has that extra layer of motivation. If you get a full season of high-level Draymond Green on and high-level Jordan Poole, high-level Andrew Wiggins. I mean, I do not envy the decisions that Bob Myers is going to have to make this offseason.
I do wonder. Let me get you out on this because I do wonder about Steph's role in this because Steph is such a don that he could go – they will have to do whatever he wants them to do, right? Like, they can't not do what he wants to do. How do you think he goes about deciding what he thinks is the best course of action?
I think, again, that's a they need to see. Because right. I don't think this is one of those things that is solved with like, hey, man, I've been good for a month. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, right.
I think they need to know, like, this won't ever happen again. And how can you know that, right? How long does it take to know that? Does it take a month, 6 months? Does it take being in a situation where everybody's like, is he about to go off and then he doesn't, right? Like, I do feel like he'll always have Steph on his side, Draymond, no matter what. Like, they're like brothers. But when it comes to, like, this locker room dynamic, I think they all just need to see that this isn't at play for happening again. This ain't like, hey, man, don't get kicked out of a game down the stretch because we're going to lose the game. Like it's like, listen, man, we can't just be having our young G stole on in the middle of practice. Right. Like, we can't function if that's the potential. So I feel like it's like on Draymond to go out there and show it. And to CJ's point, like, if you're just looking at this from a hoop perspective, shoot, this might be ideal. Draymond, like, literally has, like, little room for error and has got to play great. Not only to improve his chance of staying with the Warriors, but whatever value he had outside of the Warriors is largely due to his leadership, right? Like, if somebody want to pay him $30 million, it's because, like, hey, man, we need a champion in here. Come in here and teach our young guy. Well, if they think he's going to steal on them, then they probably, you know what I'm saying? So he's got to do that for his whole – like to kind of rebuild his reputation. So you,
right.
A motivated Draymond though is usually a problem for the rest of the league.
No question. All right, gents, I appreciate y'all jumping in. I thought we needed to talk about this. I know a lot of people have talked about it, but you know, it's the biggest story about the biggest team in the league right now. So you have to address it. So I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all both jumping in. CJ, Young Gun.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Don't pull no knives on nobody no more, please. It's a bad look.
Hey, so, I might come in one day and just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had the young buck. CJ, a college athlete. I ain't fooling with him.
No, he athlete. He got scholarship money.
Hey, come on, man. Not no more these days, man. I'm trying to tell you.
All right, leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus. If they can't leave the 5 stars, what they need to do?
Keep it to yourselves, you haters, or we gonna have CJ waiting for you outside with that knife.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, he really tried to fool us with my teammates. A couple of teammates, my friend. Man, we know that was you.